You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Locked On Saints podcast, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where you get to hear the local experts on the biggest stories, your team, every day. And remember, when you get in your car, just tell your smartphone or smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints to make your commute to work or home in traffic much more tolerable. I am your host, Ross Jackson, lead analyst for All Saints Considered. And as always, I'd like to start off with a big thank you and welcome to our newest listeners, as well as to all of those of you who have been rocking with me for a minute. So whether it's your first time or your next time, know that I love hearing from everyone that tunes in, reads, and follows. So hit me up on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. And of course, that ASC stands for AllSaintsConsidered.com, your source for up-to-the-minute Saints news, articles, and podcasts for Saints fans by Saints fans. And a happy Valentine's Day to everybody listening today. I actually have two episodes coming for you today. It is a two-episode Thursday because you know I don't mess around. I had a very busy day yesterday getting my show open. So I'm coming through. You're still getting five episodes this week. I got this one coming for you where we're going to be taking a look at sort of a review of the running back position through 2018. And then once I'm done with this, I'm going to hop back, put a second episode on wax and get that out to you as well. So expect two episodes on this wonderful Valentine's Day. That is my Valentine's Day gift to you. So like I said, today's episode is all about running backs. We're going to spend the first segment talking about Alvin Kamara and his performance through 2018. And then in the second segment, we'll follow up with the rest of the group. Mark Ingram, Dwayne Washington, Taysom Hill, Zach Line. That's right. I got them all for you. Even got a little bit of Drew Brees for you in the rushing review. I ain't scared of nobody. So I got all that coming up for you today. And of course, a little bit of Lanyap right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. So it is no surprise at all that the electrifying tandem of Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara did it again this season. Despite Ingram missing the first four games due to a PED suspension, Kamara basically started off the season as an every down back through those games and bounced back to his usual role once Ingram returned in Breeze's record-setting game against Washington in week five. Through those first four games, Kamara compiled 275 rushing yards and 336 receiving yards with six total touchdowns, five on the ground, one through the air. Once Ingram returned, Kamara didn't show any bit of slowing down at all, finishing the season with 1,592 total yards, besting his offensive rookie of the year total by 48 yards, and he also dropped 18 touchdowns this year, total touchdowns, including a franchise record 14 on the ground. Kamara continues to be electrifying on is pretty much anywhere all over the field and excelling in areas opposing defenses might think that he wouldn't. Now, you know, he's been in the league for 2 years now. There's enough tape. You figure that they are going to know next year, but I don't think there's any stopping this dude in the near future. For instance, he actually picked up 392 of his 883 rushing yards right up the gut on either side of Max Unger or on the inside between Larry Warford and Ryan Ramczyk, right in between that right guard and right tackle. Spot. Kamara's ability to explode through the middle of the line has been long overlooked as a part of his game because of his ability to also turn the edge and his ability to line up in the slot and outside as a receiver. But it's been a staple of his game since his rookie year where he picked up over 200 of his 728 yards to the right of Max Unger alone. Again, right up the gut. Kamara will continue to be a staple in the Saints offense for years as he and Michael Thomas have already begun to vie for superstar status among the league, and their adoption of the culture of New Orleans has certainly helped their cause in the city. To be honest, I've not seen two players become a part of the culture of the city that they play for like the two of them, and it's incredible for the fans and the community at large that feel a kind of connection with the players that are still playing at the level that Kamara is when people expect him to see a sophomore slump or something like that, which he saw none of at all. In fact, he was actually far from it and maintained nearly the same production, improving in certain areas. He did see a drop in one spot, going for fewer yards per carry than his record-setting 6.1 last year, but still managing his workload well at 4.6 yards per carry and gathering a higher rushing total than his rookie season. He also found the end zone an additional 6 times in the run game. His receiving total was lower this year, but wrangled the same 81 catch number. His 4 receiving touchdowns is 1 down from his rookie campaign, but 18 touchdowns total on the year tied him for 2nd for most in the league. So what to expect from Kamara next year? Well, it's kind of hard to say until we see what happens with Ingram and whether or not he resigns, because he's going to be on the books for a pretty penny. I think he's on market value on SpotTrack is $4.4 million, which if he got that would put him, according to 24/7 Sports, in the top 10 in terms of running backs being paid this year. I think it puts him at number 6 with an $8.84 million contract over 2 years. So, it depends on if the Saints are able to cough that up, give him a reasonable offer, convince him to stick around in New Orleans money-wise, as he's already got his heart in it. So if he sticks around, that would be good news for Kamara. If he doesn't, and Kamara is trusted with the bulk of the work next season, would he be able to take it on? Looking back at that 4-game stint without his backfield partner at the top of the season, and that kind of seems to say yes, he could still do it with a partner that takes less of the split than he does. However, holding up throughout the end of a season and a potential deep playoff run after not yet rushing for more than 194 times in a season over his first 2 years might be a little bit of a tougher challenge. But if Ingram returns and everything sticks to its current routine, then you can definitely expect similar production out of the two backs next year, who have combined together for more than 5,500 yards from scrimmage and 50 rushing and receiving touchdowns over the last 2 seasons, which is just incredible numbers. Some might look for Kamara to have his third year spike, believe it or not, like we saw out of Michael Thomas this year, which would be an incredibly fun year of football to watch for sure. So we'll continue our running back review up next, looking at the remaining backfield contributors after the break. Ingram, Washington, Line, and Taysom Hill all coming up right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. LSU basketball is riding on high right now after winning at Kentucky at Rupp Arena for the first time in a decade on a last-second tip-in, propelling them to a 73-71 win over Kentucky. Make sure that if you are into LSU, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, or otherwise, that you're checking out the homie, Matt Moscona, over at Locked On LSU. He is bringing you news across all the sports, all athletics over at LSU every Monday through Friday. So check him out, Matt Moscona, over at Locked On LSU. All right, family, welcome back. You know we're going to close out the show like we do every day with some of the biggest stories from around the league. But first, I want to continue and finish up our rushing review for the Saints 2018 season. So we're continuing. We talked about Alvin Kamara in the first segment. So now we're going to talk about the rest of the pack in the backfield here for our second segment. So as we mentioned earlier, Mark Ingram missed the first 4 games of last season, so his numbers don't feel impressive at 645 rushing yards, 6 touchdowns, 170 receiving yards, and 1 receiving touchdown. Now, the numbers don't really jump out, but his 4.7 yards per carry are his third best total in his career. He had 2 100-yard rushing games that actually ended up being back-to-back, and 11.5 rush attempts per game are his lowest since 2014. So he was still producing, even though he wasn't getting as many carries as he's seen over the last couple of years, meaning he made good on the opportunities that he was given. A lot of the times throughout the beginning of last year, upon his return, his lack of carries had most to do with the success of the passing game, especially in games like Washington and the game against the LA Rams. Now, in games like Cincy and Philly, he made good on his contributions, even though he didn't run a lot, only 13 and 16 carries respectively, but went over 100 yards in both of those games. His highest carry total this year was only 16, which is a total that he met or exceeded 5 times in 2017. So while his opportunities began to shed away to the passing game or simply due to Alvin Kamara in some instances, he never put himself over the team and continued to find ways to impact the game as a receiver, especially against the Bengals when he had 58 receiving yards and a touchdown, and as a pass blocker, making highlights for flipping over Dante Fowler in both games against the LA Rams last year. Ingram has always found a way to make sure that he's helping to execute the game plan on Sunday, regardless of whether or not that game plan runs through him, and that attitude is exactly what you want out of an important player on your team. If Ingram indeed does stick around for 2019. As he explained, he wants to do, New Orleans should pick right up where they left off with the Boom and Zoom combination. Dwayne Washington solidified his backup position after the preseason and those first four games of the season, outplaying Mike Gillisley, who was signed in the offseason to help shoulder the load alongside Kamara. Washington also managed to get that spot with the coaching staff, though questionably with the fans, over hometown favorite Boston Scott, graduate of Louisiana Tech. A lot of us wanted to see Scott on the field, especially after an impressive preseason and trying to help bolster a floundering return game, but Washington did the right things that the coaching staff was looking for, so he earned the spot. He made good on his use of limited opportunities that he was given in those first four games of the season. He was only given two carries that went for only 2 yards, but later on in the season, he got 11 carries against the Bengals and made good on those opportunities, going for 4.27 yards per carry, totaling in 47. He also really shined against the Carolina's reserve squad week 17 in the loss at home, where he gained 11 carries, but this time went for 108 yards, 9.8 yards per carry. He also added 3 tackles on special teams throughout the season. Washington is looking like an option for the third running back position again this year, but he'll have some competition as New Orleans loves to bring in options at that spot in particular, especially veteran options, a la Adrian Peterson from last year, although we hope not to see that whole thing reprised at all. Zach Line continues to be one of the best players in the league at a position that nobody talks about, the fullback position. He caught 5 passes this season, 2 of which went for touchdowns in the red zone, which ain't a bad ratio at all. One of Breeze's favorite targets in that area of the field over the last few seasons. He ran only 9 times, but for 41 yards and 5 first downs, so he's been an excellent option for the Saints in short yardage situations all over the field. He's also an outstanding lead blocker, leading the way for Kamara and Ingram on many big plays this season. Taysom Hill is the last one I'm going to throw into the rushing review portion, although you're going to hear a little bit about Drew Brees coming up. He played all over the formations this year on the offense. Quarterback, tight end, running back, H-back, wide receiver, you name it, he was there. I'm surprised they didn't have him playing center every now and then. His work in the run-pass option in particular added a whole new wrinkle and layer to the Saints offense, though early in the season, it became no mystery that he was definitely going to take the ball and go on his own, but he sort of worked through that as the season went on. Though a quarterback, he has absolutely no fear in lowering his shoulder and welcoming contact. He'll plow through defenders for extra yardage and is eerily good at falling forward for someone that is initially playing that quarterback position. His 37 rushes, 195 yards, and 2 touchdowns were a welcome addition to the fold this season. The thing that's been so outstanding about this run game that the Saints and Coach Sean Payton have put together is they can attack you in so many different ways. They can pound a 20-play drive down your throat. They can finesse around the outside. They can run from several formations with the running back, quarterback, and fullback in third down situations. They can also use many of their weapons as receiving threats, Zach Line and Taysom Hill included. There's really no end to how the Saints backfield can attack and win. And with that, Drew Brees can do like he did this year and pitch the fewest passing attempts that he's thrown since 2004, throw for less than 4,000 yards, and still put up a 13-3 record. When you throw for 32 touchdowns, but also have a league-leading 26, including 4 on his own from your backfield, there's far less stress in throwing your way back into games, or in some cases, out of games. So Drew Brees has it made in the shade right now with this incredible backfield. So all right, y'all, stick around, because coming up next is going to be some of the biggest stories around the league, including 1 or 2 quarterback needy teams that may now be out of the running for Teddy Bridgewater this offseason. I will explain that here in just a moment right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, Houdat Nation, I have an important favor to ask you. We over here at the Locked On Podcast Network would like your help. We put together a survey so that we can learn more about listeners like you and make your favorite Locked On podcasts even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and tell us what you don't like. It should take about 15 minutes to complete. By participating, you also are entered into the chance to win a $250 Vivid Seats gift card. Just visit lockedonpodcast.com/survey to participate. That's lockedonpodcast.com/survey. We appreciate your feedback. All right, family, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. Time now, as always, for us to take a look at some of the biggest stories from around the league. And I need to start off with this Denver Broncos trade for Ravens quarterback Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco is being sent from Baltimore to Denver. The trade has been agreed upon in principle. Now, Flacco has been one of the worst quarterbacks in the league since signing his big deal in Baltimore in 2016. 6.2 yards per attempt, worst in the NFL since that time. He's actually been the worst in the NFL in that stat since his 2013 Super Bowl victory. But despite that, Joe Flacco goes to Denver, goes to the Broncos, who are still searching for someone that can play the quarterback position after failing with each the Brock Osweiler, Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, and Case Keenum experiments. This is actually good news for the Saints as it wipes out one and potentially two quarterback needy teams who would come after Teddy Bridgewater in the offseason. Denver was one of those teams. They now have a quarterback they believe in, Joe Flacco. Now, set to acquire him March 13th when the league year begins, they'll need to figure out what to do with Case Keenum, and they're already rumored that they are going to be shopping him now. He's due $7 million next season. He's a quality backup, but might get another starting opportunity with a desperate team like Washington or Jacksonville, which would take a second team out of the running for Teddy Bridgewater. This also means that teams might be more interested in shopping other options than waiting for Bridgewater, which would make sense given his injury history. But his stock could rise on draft day if the Saints are still interested in signing and keeping him and potentially moving him again at that point for draft capital. We'll see what happens there. But all signs are pointing right now to a more positive outlook on the Teddy Bridgewater returning to New Orleans standpoint. And the last piece of news I'm going to talk about here, I'm going to keep today's episode short since I'm going to bring you a second one here in just a moment. Jeffrey Simmons tore his ACL. That's some draft news for you. Top-tier defensive tackle Jeffrey Simmons from Texas A&M tore his ACL on Tuesday during a routine workout drill. He'll undergo surgery ahead of the NFL draft, and many league sources say that he will definitely fall out of the first round with this news. He was also banned from attending the scouting combine due to a physical altercation with a woman in 2016 where he was charged with simple assault. Now, this means that he could potentially fall to the second round. I don't think that character-wise, considering what that physical altercation was, there's another situation much like this with Louisiana Tech's Jalen Samuels, who was denied or who had his combine invite rescinded because of a physical altercation with some guy when he was in his freshman year, when he was like 18 years old as a freshman. This is a little bit different. This was a physical altercation with a woman, and with all of the domestic abuse cases and spousal abuse cases that we've seen throughout the NFL, I don't blame them for keeping him out. I'm a little confused about Jalen Samuels, though. That one makes me feel a little weird, but whatever. It is what it is. With Jeffrey Simmons falling out of the first round, more than likely with this ACL tear, means that he could be available when the Saints select at 62 in the second round, or expected 62 in the second round. But I don't know if they go for him with the character issue that he shows with his specific situation. However, he could be an option there unless the Saints continue to want to go. Barry Hurstius mocked them. Debo Samuel, DraftWire mocked to them Marquise Brown out of Oklahoma. And then, of course, Caleb Wilson has been mocked a ton, Whole Nine Sports, as well as other draft websites as well that are doing mock drafts over, it's mock draft season, y'all. I hope you're ready for it. But Jeffrey Simmons could be an option for them, though I think that they will pass due to his character issues. So, all right, everybody, that is going to do it for today's first episode of Locked On Saints. It's Valentine's Day, so I am bringing y'all the love. Once I publish this, I'm back on wax getting the next one ready for you. So enjoy both episodes today. But for right now, I'll just say thank you so much for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and dad. Make sure you tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the podcast. And be sure to leave a review and rate, as every little bit helps a lot. Make sure that also, if you are listening to your podcast in the car, do so safely by telling your smartphone or smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints, and be sure to subscribe so you know when the newest episodes drop every day. Thank you for all of your support and helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust Who Dat Nation, I'll holla at you.
Hey everyone, Jake Madison here, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. Basketball season is upon us, and big things are in store for the Pelicans after making the playoffs last year. Keep up with everything going on around Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday, and the rest of the team with the daily Locked On Pelicans podcast, wherever you get your podcasts from.